We claim the blood to cover every single person that has been called a child or a son of the Most High. Believing and receiving this victory by faith, because it is by faith that we please you, Father. It is by faith that we declare that what is impossible. I give you praise, my Lord, I give you praise. I give you praise, my Lord, I give you praise. I give you praise, my Lord, I give you praise. For are you not aware that you are not alone, my children? Are you not aware that I am with you, that I am in you? And for some, you have wondered, where have I been? And I tell you, I'm inside, I'm inside, I'm inside, I'm not outside, I'm inside. For it is of my spirit to come alive today. It is of my spirit to bless my women today. It is of my spirit that I shall be glorified through this darkness. For I tell you that darkness is temporary. I tell you that darkness has come upon this house for a reason and for a season. And those that came to be entertained will not be entertained any longer. For it is serious to be a part of my house of prayer. It is serious for me to be a part of those that are in harmony. For I did not bless the 500. I only blessed 120 that were in one accord. And you question, oh, why am I being tested? I tell you that in the first Pentecost, they had been tested and they were tested and the fire was on and the fire was burning. And it's the same this day. The fire is on, the fire is burning, but I will not remain where there is chaff and darkness. I tell you, the darkness is taking a ride. It is never returning, and I am dealing with it as you rest in my presence. I stress to you, as you rest in my presence, when you decide to let me do it, you will see the victory. When you decide to rest with me, you will see my hand deliver you. When you decide to get out of the way, I will make a way where there is no way. And when you decide that you've lost everything, I am then ready to bless you beyond your understanding, beyond your comprehension, for I am the Lord and I will not fail. Welcome, Leah. Great to see you. Joseph, are you still in your pajamas?
Yes.
You're still in your pajamas. We love you in your pajamas.
Good to hear that.
Happy Mother's Day, Leah. I saw the picture of the kids. It was awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Well, the Lord took us for a little ride this morning, or it took me for a little ride. But I remind you that when you and I try to fix everything, we're out of order with the Lord's command for this year. And this morning early, as I was crying out to him for what he wanted from me to give to you and to myself, he was reminding me that he would speak to me when I would quiet down. Well, most of you know that I'm a doer, so obviously it was a busy morning. But when I got in the shower, concentrating on putting shampoo, he said, "Will you rest again?" So while I'm rubbing my hair and doing what needs to be done to clean up, he's reminding me, I will prepare what I want and not what you perceive is needed. Your perception is from your soul. The revelation is from your spirit. Your perception is from the natural realm. and it will die away. Your perception is from what you've learned, and that is all a part of the covenant of death. The covenant of death brings more of itself as you bow to fear and torment. It grows and multiplies. So when I got out of the shower, I said, Lord, I got it. Rest. So got myself ready, came into the area of my desk and took my Bible out, and I said, Lord, what do you want for the word? And he said, go to Hebrews chapter 4. Well, some of you may think I know all these things by heart, but I don't. Some I remember, some I don't. My mind was a blank. But Hebrews chapter 4 says the Sabbath rest is for the people of God. A Sabbath rest for the people of God. And I said, well, I guess that's a confirming word, because I did not perceive for sure which chapter. I knew it was in Hebrews, but I didn't know which chapter. So I jotted that down. And when I began to read, obviously, it's familiar. And it's really a part. Verse 3 says, now we who have believed, we who have believed, enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Why did God get angry? So I backed it up in chapter 3, rather. And he kind of pressed there a little bit of why. Verse 11. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart. I said, ouch. Sinful, unbelieving heart. Now that hurts. When do I get caught with a sinful, unbelieving heart? When I'm trying to do my own thing to solve my own problem. When I'm trusting in the revelation of myself to myself with reasoning and with thought patterns that come from the carnal nature. He's wanting me to rest so that I can get a download from heaven and be able to operate with what he's prepared for me. He's really saying, when you decide to trust your spirit, which is totally enabled by my Holy Spirit, I did not send my spirit to let you do your own thing. I think the bell from the phone is trying to tell us something. Yeah. See, I do pretty good resting until some new crisis enters. And all of a sudden, I find myself back on my plan of action to get freed up. And I try to reason away why I got in trouble. So I kind of went back, and verse 11 says, I declare an oath in my anger. God is angry. That they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Sin's deceitfulness. Where and how did we enter into sin's deceitfulness to try to find comfort? To try to find a solution? So I want to pause this for a moment because I'm seeing a vision of last night. It was around 8:30-ish. And I see somebody at my back door. Tall gentleman. So I go to the door. And I don't recognize the young person. And I opened the door a little bit. And he said, "Do you remember me?" And I said, "Honestly, no." He says, "I'm so-and-so's friend, one of my grandson's friend." My wife recognized him, but he probably lost maybe 100 pounds, so doesn't look anything like what he used to. So I'm not recognizing him. Plus, he's got a full beard. And he used to be a friend of one of my grandsons. He tells me he's homeless, and he would like some money and a ride. Now, I had not heard from the Lord about somebody coming to my back door. John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30 says, Jesus didn't do anything to please himself, but only what the Father showed him. Well, I did not get a vision of this young man at my door. So I knew it was a test. So he's telling me that he tried to contact one of my grandsons, and that grandson said no. So I said, "Well, did you contact my other grandson?" So I don't know. I said, "Well," so he pulls out a beautiful cell phone and he dials. And remember now, he wanted $20 and a ride. And he told me where, but it didn't connect anything with me. So now he's trying to dial and he gets no answer. And I'm praying in the spirit, saying, "What do you want, Lord?" And the Lord said, "You give him $5. So I excused myself, went in my bedroom, took my $5 bill, and I gave it to him. And I said, "I'm sorry, but we're not able to do what you would like us to do." I said, "But you've made some choices, and I ask that you would be obedient and carry the ball where you need to go." And so he left, but then the enemy came attacking my mind. Why didn't you give him 20? Attacking my thought patterns. Why didn't you let him in and give him a plate of food? So I cast those thoughts down because I knew they were not the Lord. Because I've been seduced before. It wouldn't be the first time. But you see, I've had enough learning to know that when I listen to my emotions, I don't get godly results. When I give and it's not God's plan for me to give, I don't get a blessing on it. I usually get zero or short change to pay the bills because the 20 would have been used for the wrong reasons. And I learned that many years ago because I was full of compassion, didn't know the difference between true compassion and false compassion. So I did intercede for him. And all of a sudden, there was like nothing left to do. So I rested. I rested and I entered the Lord's rest, knowing that what this person was doing was bringing a test to me. And yes, I gave grace. That was the awareness. You gave grace, and that's sufficient. This young person is probably 35. And my wife and I did discuss a little bit about what she believed and remembered. And then I remembered giving him a ride home several times, years and years ago. Why am I saying that? Because a test should not be wasted. A test should be given an opportunity to release an awareness of where we are living. Are we living in our natural abilities, or are we living in a trusting, restful space that God has provided? Verse 14. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end and confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose body fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. They were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Halfway through the night, I woke up. My body was hurting. And the darkness had a few choice words for me, that I was not kind to the young man, that I should have maybe provided some way for him to have a ride. It was just another level of you should do. And obviously, it took a few moments because I was a little bit sleepy. And I said, no. So the Holy Spirit said, now, why don't you get up and take Holy Communion? So I did. I sat in the family room. I had some bread and wine. And I was really pressed to intercede for our president and for his family. I was also pressed to intercede for the house of prayer. And there were two people that were definitely on my heart, and that's John and Ann. More so than the others for the moment because of the pressure they've been through this week. And I was reminded that the Holy Spirit told me to rest, but it wasn't comfortable because I want to see John full of joy and I want to see Anne dancing. That's what I want. So until I get what I want, my soul is going to continue to what? Pressure. Put all kinds of pressure in me so that I will go back to the old way and perform in order to get the desired result. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. None. He doesn't want to leave anybody out. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Okay. Believing I have received, it will be done unto me. Believing by choice, which is not an emotion. Choosing to accept that God has put us through a test, and his ultimate purpose is to make us one. When he took the people out of Israel and he allowed the crucifixion, he allowed them to learn who the real Passover lamb was. They were all in one accord, over 500 of them. But then the pressure came. They did not like the pressure. I'm sure they had agendas. I got to do this. I got to do that. Oh, I can't because. And the reasoning probably was quite entertaining. You see, when you and I listen to our emotions and we flow with them, it's going to feel good at the beginning. And since we're a feel-good people, are we not a feel-good people? When it feels good, oh, this must be God. So therefore, we run with it and we feel better about it. That's not faith. That's an emotional high. I heard a commentator, and I'm not going to give the name because I don't remember it, say that one of the things that's happening right now and the churches are empty is because God has said, I'm all done with entertainment. There was a season in my life that I went to church to be entertained. All right. Going to church to be entertained is an okay thing, but is it going to produce godly results? Having a good time is like going to a theater and you walk out and you go back to the same old, and yes, oh, you went down to the altar, repented of your sin, and go right back to doing the same thing the next day. Not God. Not godly. But definitely doable, and it is entertaining. You see, I can tell you that Holy Spirit, who is the author of the Feast of Pentecost, he's the reason that they needed to be one in harmony and in accord with each other. They needed to be all focused on what God wanted and not what they had for an agenda. You say, well, that's not comfortable. It's not intended to be comfortable. It's intended to change your heart. Holy Spirit wants you to be in such a harmonious place together that you will never be divided from the desire of his spirit versus your emotional high. What God is looking for is true worship. You say, well, I don't know what worship is. Real worship is submitting my will to God. When you and I are in full worship, all dead things will come to life. I said, whoa. Real worship is my submission of my will to him. And I am truly worshiping when I watch dead things in my life come back to life. So as I told you, I had taken Holy Communion last night, or this morning. I went back to bed and my chest was really painful. And there was a press to just put my right hand over my breast. It was very tender. And he said, now release your spirit. Well, logically, you know, I could give you all kinds of reasoning that, you know, you might wake up somebody. And the Lord said, yeah, you might wake up the dead and allow life to come back in. So I kept my hand there and I began to worship. And I began to release my spirit. And that numbness that's in my chest, which is an invasion of darkness, and I know it. And it's been allowed to stay until I truly trust that he's not going to finish until I get out of the way. The more I try to fix it on my own, I'm doing things to please myself. The more I rest in his ability to release freedom to me, the quicker that I will enter the Lord's rest. This other gentleman gave a word that I thought was pretty intense. And I believe that this is the key that Ann Becker saw on my necktie. The key to everything you desire is intimacy with God. The key to everything you desire is intimacy with God. The key to everything I desire is truly the intimacy with God. And when I'm intimate with him, everything that he's prepared for me will be downloaded to me. So, verse 3 of chapter 4. Now, we who have believed enter that rest just as God has said. So I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. And on the seventh, he said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. If I hear his voice, I am not to harden my heart. How do I harden my heart? Because I didn't get what I wanted, I end up trying to perform to make something happen. Or I try to reason away a new solution. And when I do that, I'm not depending on the spirit within me. I'm depending on what I've learned. Either through life or education. So why is it that we have such a hard time trusting and believing by faith that he is on our case, that his hand is upon each and every one of us. I believe we might, and I say that with respect, we might taste of his plan and of his unfolding will in the coming Pentecost. Several of the believers that I've listened to this past week made one thing clear. And they all said the same thing. It's the first time since the original Passover that the earth's nations were pressured into believing that there was an original Passover feast. God is trying to get the attention of the world. He's interested in all nations. But if it's anything like the past, the majority of the nations during the first Passover, the rebellious nature of man is visible in Pharaoh and his army. I truly believe that the end result of what God is after is the total destruction of the demonic army. You see, when God opened the Red Sea, the scripture says that they that believed were baptized into Moses. They were baptized into the law. But the same Red Sea was used to bury an entire army of rebellious, willful, demonically inspired men. It included their horses and all of their armor. You see, God gives us these things in the past to learn from. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for us to really be attentive, that he wants to release his spirit in a major way over the entire population of the earth. Whichever nations have been chosen to go forward, will go forward. Whichever nations that submit to the will of the Father will get the results that the believers got on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Empowerment from heaven, with the authority of heaven, downloaded into each and every one of them. You see, Peter, James, and John were not exactly comfortable people when they watched the crucifixion and walked their way through the Passover. For them, they realized that that lamb was Jesus only later. They had no clue that he really was the lamb, even though he told them he was. I don't think it could enter their minds what God had prepared. I believe the same thing happens today. What he's prepared for you and me is a lot deeper than what our box here, where's Darlene? There she is. That box can only contain natural stuff. But inside here, inside my spirit, is the Holy Spirit. He manifests when I release myself totally to him. When I decided to put my hand on my chest, the transformation started to manifest. When I stopped, some of the pain came back. Why? James 4:7, humble yourself before the Lord, resist the devil until he has to flee. It's going to take a while for us to convert this box into an obedient brain and an obedient mind. For the Lord wants his mind to be in us, his instructions to be downloaded to us on a daily basis. Not just a few minutes of worship and a high, such I've enjoyed in church. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that I didn't enjoy worshiping the Lord. But you see, the ultimate goal is when you are now enjoying the worship more than the living God, you have just created an idol. Some of you need to say, ouch. When you put anything before the Most High God, you have created an idol. I can't wait to get to church so I can dance. Is there anything wrong with dancing before the Lord? No. But I can't wait till. I learned that lesson many years ago. I had an individual, very precious individual. Love the Lord, but they would come and demonstrate their ability to dance before the Lord, and the worship was being drawn to them and not to the Most High God. And I said, Lord, what do I do with this? He said, you're going to deal with it by asking this individual not to be dancing in front of everyone, but to go in the back of the room and worship before the Lord with the dance, but not be the focus of the entertainment. Well, that was okay. They received it for a little while. And of course, then they weren't getting all the glory. So guess what? They left. Yeah. Some of you have seen that. And I'm not accusing the person. There was a negative force there operating. Is there hope for that person? Yes, through yours and my intercession. Not to condemn, but to lift them up before the Lord until the revelation comes. See, many people have many, many talents that God gave them. Psalm 139 declares it. They were put together in their mother's womb with mighty, mighty talents. And that talent can be under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, or it can be under the authority and ability of your soul. And that which is soulish will bring death. That which is of the Spirit will bring life. I want you to close your eyes right now. Because I've given you so much information right now that I'm having a sense that it's like a bottle of champagne ready to pop. The cover is about to blow up. So put your right hand over your heart. Father, right now, I know that many of them are in full capacity and they can't take another word right now. So I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to confirm this word. Today, Lord, if they've hardened their hearts in the past, I'm asking that your grace and your confirmation will make it clear so that they will come out of that and go forward in obedience to you. Father, if they did not combine their faith to go forward, let there be a revelation of the unbelief that is still trying to hold on to their hearts. For your Holy Spirit is greater and can overrule the darkness and the unbelief. Holy Spirit, help their unbelief. Holy Spirit, help them to release faith from your throne into every action and reaction that you have prepared for them because of the disappointments of their expectations, the disappointments of what has happened over the past few days and weeks, and some of you years. I give you praise, my Father, that this Mother's Day is a day for birthing in the Spirit, that you will bring birth from that which is inside of us, so that the Pentecost that is being prepared will be so much greater, so much deeper, that we will comprehend the intensity of God's plan for our lives and for our future. I give you praise for this in Jesus' precious name. I remind myself that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And this word will not return void, but it will produce with signs and wonders what you have prepared for the saints that have gathered together in your name today. In Jesus' name, I pray.